Do as you will, but as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. Well, again, we're right back in religion again.
You're going to check the record, Brad?
Well, that's where we get our...
Sure is happening.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coven. Dr. Coven is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coven is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coven is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coven with Christian Worldview.
Welcome to the show this morning. This is Dr. John Coven, your Tyranny Response Unit. We're so glad to have you here with us on Friday, the end of the work week, and almost time to rest from your labors and have some enjoyment and fun. This is the last day of a very special week for us because it's the first week, our inaugural week of being on the air here on the Tyranny Response Network. Christian Worldview today with Dr. John Coven is a very important program, not only for Greenville, but as it expands across the nation and around the world through the internet. We hope to reach many people with the truths that are so important to us and so crucial in today's political and social life. We are called the Tyranny Response Network precisely because we are opposed to tyranny. And guess what, folks? You've had at least as much tyranny. You'll have at least as much tyranny today as you did yesterday and the day before. Things are not improving in this country. They are going the other way. And in fact, people are continually duped, it seems, politically, by people like George Bush, people like, of course, the whole Democratic Party movement. There seems to be a cluelessness among Americans and a gullibility among Christians, which is absolutely appalling. Well, we here at the Tyranny Response Network and through shows like Christian Worldview today are hoping to dispel some of these problems that people have, these issues people have, these beliefs that people have that are false, that lead them astray and cause them to keep electing people like George Bush and keep believing that they live in a free country when in fact they are regulated to death, taxed to death, and controlled inordinately by the state. Well, this morning we have a number of headlines we'll try to go through, and we'll also be attempting to make some deep, deep discussion once again as we try to resolve our various issues here in the studio. In our first week, we've had a number of technical issues, and we appreciate you bearing with us through those technical issues. Lord willing, we will be trying to record every broadcast and then putting it on our main home webpage every day in a rotating manner. So if you have friends or family members or people anywhere in the United States or elsewhere who would like to listen to a recording of this broadcast, they're welcome to do so simply by logging into our home webpage, which is policyofliberty.net. It's just like it's spelled, just like it sounds, policyofliberty.net. And if you go to policyofliberty.net and scroll down towards the bottom, you'll find a number of show links, including pre-reported programs called Liberty Minutes, as well as some of the bumpers that the producers here in the show use to make the show sound better. And at the bottom, you'll see a link, or somewhere on the page there, you'll see a link saying, click here to hear the most recent Christian Worldview Today show. And if they simply do that, they'll be able to hear the whole broadcast. You'll note that we are commercial-free. We do have some public service announcements, and those will continue. There will be some so-called commercials, I guess, for the Integrity Group here in Greenville, South Carolina, which is my financial planning firm. We invite you to give me a call if you have any needs for things like term life insurance or for any of your financial planning needs, whether it be retirement accounts, estate planning, or otherwise. And you can reach me at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. So besides an occasional Integrity Group commercial, the entire show will be without commercial break other than public service announcements. Now, we have many supporters here, as you might imagine, some of which include the Libertarian Party, and I, the Tyranny Response Unit, am avowed as a pro-life libertarian, so I appreciate their support. We also have support from the Constitution Party, who are a tremendous group of individuals who love liberty and who are seeking to promote limited government, free markets, and so forth as well. We have supporters among the creationist movement, the Darwin-bashing crowd, who do a tremendous job at the Creation Study Group, and hopefully they will also be coming along at some point with some public service announcements for you to feast upon. And then there will be other groups, we hope, from among the so-called Confederates or so-called gun nuts, of which the Tyranny Response Unit, that's me, John Coben, is both. Remember, I am from the True South, which is Southern California. For all of you who didn't know, that was part of the True South. And you simply need to take a topographical map or whatever it might be that has latitude lines on it, and you'll see that Southern California is indeed in the South and just as much as South as anything here in South Carolina. And, in fact, there are many millions of people, at least hundreds of thousands of people, who are sympathetic to the Confederacy, to the War of Northern Aggression or the War Between the States, and what happened to destroy liberty at the hands of this tyrant, the American Stalin, Abraham Lincoln, and his men like Seward and Stanton, Edwin Stanton, who might have been worse than Lincoln, as well as some of the others there that followed him, at least Ulysses S. Grant during the reign of terror of Reconstructionism here in the South. So at any rate, we will have many of these groups supporting our show by donations. You're also welcome to contribute, even if it's $10 or $25 a month. We're very happy to have your support and help us continue to be commercial free and bring you outstanding programming as we can continue to improve our content here on the Tyranny Response Network. I'm going to give you our email address, and the email address is very important. It's questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And you can reach us by email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I will try to personally respond, if possible, to every one of your comments, concerns, questions. Now, if you're interested in supporting the show in any way, please let us indicate that by letting us know by email, and we'll be back in touch with you. You can also call the Integrity Group office if you need to speak with me by phone, and with the regard to that matter as well. 864-244-6464. Our email address again is questions@policyofliberty.net. questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, having said that much, today's show, we have one of our famous producers here, Bob, and he's going to be trying to play some spots for us today of just very fun things that some of the production team has come up with. In fact, Bob, if you got ready that one that sounds sort of like a Clint Eastwood, I'd just love the listeners to be able to hear the Clint Eastwood one. It's not really Clint Eastwood, we'll have to admit, but it sure sounds like it. When you're ready, go ahead and give me the high sign, and we'll play that.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
Isn't that tremendous? I mean, we're talking about some high-quality stuff there. You know, I think listeners need to hear that again. Would you push that on there again just one more time?
Dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent...
Integrity Group spot.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
Well, you are listening to the Tyranny Response Network, and we are going to go ahead and help you make your day this morning. Again, our production crew are amateurs and volunteers, perhaps, but they are growing incredibly by leaps and bounds in their knowledge of how to run a production studio. So if we don't sound quite as polished as we should be, we'll get there and we'll become one of the finest quality broadcasting networks that's available in this land. Certainly in terms of the truth, we already there. There's not much competition out there, especially not in Greenville or in the Southeast, so it's pretty easy to just bowl our way in and become the top-notch truth promoting station in the land, at least in this area. We want to get to a few headlines, and then, as I said, I want to go through some deeper issues of the day. I'll remind you again once before I start that our email address is questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And also, right before I get to the first story, I want to remind you that the website Policy of Liberty is a comprehensive, important website in the cause for truth and for liberty, and there is more there than just a few announcements about the radio show, a few pictures of the Tyranny Response Unit. Not very flattering pictures, I might say, but that's all right. As people say, I have a face for radio. But at any rate, what we want to do with Policy of Liberty is help promote truth by linking to many other pages that will promote homeschooling, things like the Confederate understanding of the world, or our view of the Confederacy, I should say, Darwinism versus creationism debate, the pro-life issue, as well as many other standard links to things that promote liberty. We also have a page on there with photographs of the most famous free market economists of the 20th century, as well as a few other characters, namely Stonewall Jackson, Thomas Jefferson, and so forth, with biographical links, stories about these men, and we have there as well some of their writings that you can click on and read. In addition, we have a quotations page with hundreds of quotations in favor of liberty, private property rights, gun ownership, and limited government. Those things are available on Policy of Liberty for your eye candy type enjoyment, and you're welcome to have a look there at those things. In addition to that, you'll find a section with books and articles that Dr. John Coben, that's me, your Tyranny Response Unit, has written, and you're welcome to, of course, peruse those articles from my column in the Times Examiner, and my columns have dealt with very important issues ranging from quite a group of environmental or anti-environmentalist articles on politics, articles on the marriage amendment, articles on the differences between the Constitution and the Libertarian Party. This week's article is on Albert J. Nock and the difference between governments and states, which we've discussed earlier in the week on this show, and the criticisms of the Transportation Security Administration, with a pro-gun sort of clause in there, and topics just all over the board that will be of great interest to you to pick up and read off the internet. Those articles are all published locally in the Greenville paper, The Times Examiner, which is also subtitled The Conservative Voice of the Palmetto State. I invite you to pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at 44 Pine Knoll Road in Greenville. And again, the columns are all the back columns and the current columns are online at policyofliberty.net. I'd also invite you to pick up a copy of my latest book, which is called Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. On the website, you'll find that book as well as some supporting materials, including a very important piece on the front page of Policy of Liberty at the very bottom, a link to the four Christian perspectives on public policy. There are four views of public policy. We've already talked a bit about them here at the show, and there are means by which you can help yourself determine what your views are and how you could improve them, or where you actually fall with relationship to your understanding of the Christian's relationship to the state and the nature of the state itself. You're able to do that simply by going to policyofliberty.net and scrolling down to the bottom of the front page, taking the self-guided quiz of 15 questions. We'd invite you to do so, and when you have some results, please send them to John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, and we'll be able to mention it on the air, not with your last name, just a first name of a listener who wrote in with these comments after taking the quiz. In addition to that, you'll find other books and articles of tremendous interest to you on the website. Many people write to me frequently about allodialism, that's property rights in real estate and real property that are absolute, free of government regulation, free of property taxes. Is it possible? Was it ever here in America? What is the theory all about? I've written two of the most important chapters, I think, theoretically and practically about this issue, and those books are available online, and those articles. The main books that include those chapters about allodialism are one called Building Regulation, Market Alternatives, and Allodial Policy. That was published in London several years ago with a foreword by Dr. Walter Williams, who was my dissertation advisor at George Mason University. And Dr. Williams, of course, is a great champion of truth, liberty, and a true Jeffersonian radical. The other book is my second most recent book, which is entitled A Primer on Modern Themes in Free Market Economics and Policy. That's also available in a downloadable form as an Adobe PDF file, as is all the books that we have, and very inexpensive rate, and certainly should be on the shelves or on the computer hard disk of anybody who is interested in studying the issue of allodial policy. Another hot issue that people write to me about frequently is the marriage covenant issue. the Tyranny Response Network and this Tyranny Response Unit are in favor of no licensing policies, meaning that if you want to be married, you don't need the government's permission to get married. You don't need to have a license from them in any way, shape, or form in order to be married in the sight of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul, Martin Luther, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and anybody before 1925, pretty much, had no marriage license. They simply wrote their names down in the marriage in the family Bible while they after they had a ceremony at the church, and they were considered married, and that was good enough for God, and it was good enough for the people at the time. Don't be duped into the idea that you cannot be married unless you have a government-issued marriage license. The same goes true, by the way, for all sorts of other licenses, whether it be business licenses or whatever it might there might be. These are simply monopoly-creating or control-creating items that allow government more interference and intrusion into our lives and a more debilitation of social cooperation in our land. There's an article about covenant marriage and a template for creating your own marriage covenant document at policyofliberty.net under the article section. And if you then follow the link to the bookstore, which is called Alertness Books. Well, there's enough about the Tyranny Response Network. I actually belabored some of those points longer than I had expected this morning, but we're happy to share those things with you, and we'll remind you of them as time goes along. We have here a story from CNN about this continuing tragedy in Ventura, California. And being from Southern California, I lived for quite some time about 10 minutes away from La Conchita, which is the little town there, little hamlet, I think it calls it, which suffered this tremendous mudslide. In fact, I drove by it so many times, and you can hardly imagine what it must have been like living there and having the mud come down the hill. And here's a story from CNN. What Greg Ray remembers is seeing a mountain come down on him. What he didn't understand is why he survived while two of his friends died in the torrent of liquid earth that buried homes in the hamlet of La Conchita. I lost people that I love, and the only reason I'm alive, I don't know, Ray, 61, said Wednesday from his bed in a Ventura County medical center. The death toll had risen to 10 early Wednesday with the discovery of the bodies of a mother and her three children buried in the mud. Later in the day, authorities announced that all those on the list of those reported missing were finally accounted for. A search for anyone else who might have been in the area was halted Thursday after a muddy area of the base of the towering bluff shifted 6 feet in early morning. Workers said a geologist was inspecting the area. Ray had stopped to help a friend move out of a home at the base of the hillside. After 5 days of drenching rain, residents were worried. A mudslide in 1995 buried 9 houses and 600,000 tons of mud. We knew the mountain was coming down, Ray said, but no one knew when. Ray said he was helping load camera gear into a car Monday when another neighbor, Jim Morgan, suddenly shouted a warning. He yelled at us and said, "The mountain's coming down. Get out of there now." We looked up and the mountain just spewed. "He saved my life," Ray said. Dirt and boulders spilled down the hillside, hit a berm, and exploded back up into a plume of earth towering 100 feet over the three friends. Ray recalled, "The men sprinted down the street and turned into a second street, desperately trying to outrun the roaring mudslide." Ray said that as he ran down the street, he could see a trailer was gaining on him, pushed along by the flowing debris. "It was up in the air and turned. It was up in the air and turned over. The top of the trailer was coming down on me," he said. He dove into a space between two parked cars seconds before the trailer and mud overtook him, crushing the cars down to the wheels, Ray said. In the tiny pitch-dark crawl space, Ray realized his right leg was seriously injured. He would later learn that the giant splinter of wood from a broken 2x4 had torn into it. "The leg was numb, and I didn't know whether it was pulverized," he said. "His chest was bruised, he had trouble breathing, and he had lost his front tooth." Rescuers found Ray within minutes, but it took 3 hours to dig him out, he said. During the agonizing wait, Ray snapped into a photo of himself with a disposable camera. He didn't learn until Tuesday after surgery to repair his leg that his companions, Morgan and Tony Alves, were found crushed to death in the debris. The massive mound of mud covered several blocks, and it stood 30 feet high in some spots. One man, Jimmy Wallet, lost his wife and three of his daughters, and the article continues with more details. What a tremendous tragedy. Of course, nothing compared to the tragedy of the tsunami that hit Southeast Asia, but again, we're reminded that life is so precarious. In fact, if we don't know Christ and have no hope of salvation, at any moment our lives could be taken away, and we could be ushered in the presence of God and face judgment, and we all need to be prepared for that great day, because it will come, and it may come sooner than we think. These folks had no idea what might overtake them that particular day, and to have a 30-foot wall of mud slide down a hill and plumes shooting 100 feet up in the air over people and crushing people is just tremendous. I don't know if you saw the footage on Fox News. Once in a while, they have some good video. But I remember sitting there with my kids saying, this is not Hollywood. This is not somebody playing like he's about to die. But the fellow up on top of the hill in Thailand showing the 32-foot wave coming in as a guy's out there picking up fish while the water had receded, just started staring at this fast rushing in wave coming in at 300 or 500 miles an hour or whatever it was at that point, and just looking at the wave and then watching him die, just take him away, just crush him, and never to be seen ever again. What a tremendous tragedy that was, but how, again, what a great reminder it is for us that life is short, it's precious, there are no guarantees, and we must be thoughtful about every day and every move that we make. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, we encourage you to do that, and although I'm not a preacher, I'm certainly not ashamed to tell you about my Savior and the needs you need to the needs you have to repent and believe in Him. Well, we also have some other interesting news today, this coming from Fox News, where it says, a man arrested after resin seen in home. Now, I may be pronouncing that word incorrectly. If anybody knows otherwise, please do let us know. Man arrested after resin is seen in home. It's a biological agent.
Ricin.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bob, for coming to the aid of the Tyranny Response Unit. Ricin was seen in his home. In Ocala, Florida, that's north central Florida, for those of you who may not be familiar with Florida, a man was arrested after authorities allegedly found the deadly toxin ricin slashed in a cardboard box at his home, along with a small cache of weapons, officials said Thursday. Stephen Michael Ekberg, 22, faces up to 10 years if convicted of possession of a biological agent. FBI agents said they didn't believe Ekberg, arrested Wednesday, had any connection with terrorist groups. There was no explanation for how or why he obtained the ricin. The chemical substance is derived from the castor bean, and that's a natural substance. I don't think castor beans are difficult to obtain, said FBI Special Agent Jeff Westcott in Jacksonville. The suspect's mother, Teresa Ekberg, who lives with her son, declined to comment. The sheriff's office was tipped off last week by an informant who alleged Ekberg had been carrying concealed weapons into clubs. Now, in Florida, it's very easy to carry a concealed weapon, even if you have one of their state-issued permits. We're not in favor, by the way, of state-issued permits for carrying concealed weapons. We believe at the Tyranny Response Network, and I digress, of course, we believe at the Tyranny Response Network that everybody in America, according to the Second Amendment, has the right to be armed, and he can carry his weapon in his pocket, in his briefcase. A woman can carry it in her purse. It can be anywhere, and you do not need a license to do so. To require a license is pure tyranny and a violation of your constitutional rights. But in Florida, they have a rather so-called liberal view of licensing people, as I understand it. It's very easy to get a concealed weapons permit, and that's why the crime rate drops so dramatically in places like Florida and also in Oregon when they set forth those rules. But at any rate, here they say... The sheriff's office was tipped off last week by an informant who alleged Ekberg had been carrying a concealed weapon into clubs and boasted of having ricin in one of several vials and glass tubes as he allegedly showed off. Ekberg had stated that if government ever did anything to him, he would take some sort of action, according to a federal criminal complaint. Ekberg was arrested and released last week for alleged possession of cocaine and violating the concealed weapons law. A search for his home then revealed a cardboard box with ricin inside, as well as a Uzi-type submachine gun and two semi-automatic rifles. I believe those are also illegal in the state of Florida, and they should be legal everywhere. Why shouldn't they be if you have the Second Amendment? A sheriff's report reported.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as little as 500 micrograms of ricin, roughly the amount that fits in the head of a straight pin, is enough to kill an adult. Wow. Pretty potent stuff. Of course, nothing wrong with necessarily owning this this particular element. I'm not sure why anybody would, but it might not be a bad idea to try on tyrants. Imagine if just one person had it in the former Soviet Union under Stalin. What use could it have been just to put a little drop of it in his tea and save 85 million people from being killed, slaughtered by either bullets, being buried alive, or frozen to death in Siberia. Sometimes little bits of poisons in the hands of liberty-loving people are very good. Depends on who they're being used against, especially the blood of if the blood of tyrants can be spilled with them. Now, we're not necessarily here preaching revolution, but we're not doing anything different than the founding fathers of this great nation did when they faced the tyrants of King George and all his bureaucrats who were sent over to this great land of America to so-called, as Jefferson put it, eat out our substance. These people are tyrants who are taking away our liberty, and therefore, because of that, we have a right of self-defense in any way, shape, or form, and the most effective way, the more effective way, the better. And I don't know anything about this man Ekberg, who was arrested, and maybe he would have been some sort of terrorist at age 22. I don't know, but my guess is he was probably just a haughty kid with a chip on his shoulder and making some stupid comments in clubs, and probably would have come to know. To no harm to anyone, unfortunately, especially not to tyrants. I don't want to harm any innocent people. Do you believe that people who are tyrants are innocent people? Do you believe that they deserve a second chance? Do you believe that we should just go ahead and let them continue on their way without anybody saying anything or without any threats? I don't think so, because the only way we're going to have any change in the United States of America is by making people stand up for liberty and stand up for their rights. And the first step to that is not to have armed revolt or revolution, but the first step is for us to understand what's happened and how the tyranny has spread and what we suffer under at this moment in time because of the way our fake or phony government system has emerged into, because of what it's emerged into. The Tyranny Response Network is dedicated to helping you improve your understanding and knowledge of the world's events and think differently than the mainstream media has led you to believe. And Bob, don't we have some interesting spots that we have about what the Tyranny Response Network can do? Aren't there some bumpers in there? Look around for some. I think we have several that we can interject here that talk about our network's capability or interest and desire and drive to free the minds of American citizens and help you think more clearly, more biblically, and more in favor of liberty. What's that? Ear Candy's good. Play that one. Here's one called Ear Candy. But we have some others we'll look for as well that some of our production staff have invented. They're just tremendous.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some Ear Candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
The United States was born in an anti-monopoly tradition.
That's a great one. We have another one about disinfecting the modern mainstream media or something like that. See if you can find the one that says disinfecting. Go ahead and play that one.
Against taxes. By the way, protest against...
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Yeah, you got to love that one as well. That's just tremendous. And we need to be playing those things all the time just because it reminds people of our purpose and goal here. And I think they're a little bit funny as well. So hopefully our production, the Tyranny Response Unit is a very serious academic type some people say intellectual, for lack of a better word, perhaps. But there's some people here at the Tyranny Response Network that also have just a whole lot of fun, and they stay up late at night and just like to mix up these little bumpers for our show, and we're really appreciative for what they do. All right, more news, different thought. Inauguration prayer banned decision expected Friday. Fox News reports the atheist who tried to remove the phrase "under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance went into court Thursday to argue the Bible and prayers should be kept out of next week's presidential inauguration ceremonies. A decision on the matter, Newdow versus Bush, is expected Friday. Michael Newdow filed the federal lawsuit last month against the government for allowing a prayer to be said at President Bush's January 20th inauguration on the grounds that the use of prayer for such an event is unconstitutional. This is the second inauguration in a row in which Nudo has fought to ban the prayer. Last time he lost in two federal courts. Well, the interesting thing that Mr. Nudo doesn't understand is that this nation was actually founded on a Christian premise, and it's not unusual in any way for Congress to open in prayer or for us to have elected representatives sworn in on the scriptures or on the Bible or for this sort of thing to occur at inaugurations. Now, he, of course, is pointing out the fact that we have become a postmodern secular society, and while those things were just taken for granted as good, 200 and some years ago when the nation was founded, they certainly are not today. And that's an interesting point. But he seems to be completely ignorant of the fact that historically this has been our nation's roots. On the other hand, we need to ask ourselves a question, and that is, does the current government warrant having any kind of spiritual shellac put on it to make it any prettier? I mean, this is a I've used a line before about the public school or so-called public school, the government school, in relation to certain topics relating to the government school. There are certain things that are like a cow pie, and putting stuff like this on is just like adding a fine coat of lacquer to the cow pie. It doesn't change the cow pie's nature. It's still, detestable and disgusting, but putting the lacquer on it makes it a little more shiny. Well, George Bush is renowned for giving lip service to Christianity. He's renowned for coming, stepping up to the plate and talking pro-life and against abortion, which every libertarian, my libertarian friend, should be in favor of. That is the pro-life position. There is no way that we can kill another innocent human being on the basis of saying he's really not a person, any more than we can enslave a black person because we say he's a human being but not a person. There is just no grounds in any way for a libertarian or anybody who loves life, certainly a constitutionalist, to support abortion. Well, here we have George Bush giving lip service to many things that are the Christian right, so to speak, likes, but then he actually does nothing. The Republican Party does nothing. I remember with my former co-host of another local show here in town, Dr. Tony Beam, who runs the Christian Worldview Center at North Greenville College and was an avid Bush supporter, and who argued with vehemently before the election that voting for George Bush was a sin, and he got very red-faced and upset when I told him that he was sinning by doing that. And after the election, I told him, now, Tony, you've won. You're going to find out what you really got. And he admittedly said, yes, we are right. We'll now see. And sure enough, the first thing the Republicans could have done is gotten rid of the filibuster rule. By getting rid of the filibuster rule, the Senate could have easily passed all sorts of things that are liberty-promoting, Christian-promoting, and so on and so forth. They didn't do that. And then they went up and appointed Gonzalez as the head, the Attorney General, head of the Department of Justice. Well, this is great. A guy who allowed the teenager in Texas to not have to inform her parents about getting an abortion. This is the guy we want running the Justice Department. Really a pro-death and a pro-abortion guy. This is the same guy that helped Dr. or President George Bush, but then Governor George Bush, get off his drunk driving charges, I understand, in Texas. This is a slimy, sleazy political type, underling of the Republican George Bush wing, that really displays what kind of guy we really have up there with George Bush. Christians, don't be deluded into thinking that George Bush is your friend, that he's going to help the church or he's going to help promote Christian principles. This is a lie. I don't care if you think he's better than John Kerry. He's not that much better if he is better than him. You're still stuck with a real rotten character in the White House, and I'm not sure we should put any shellac on it. So about having inaugural prayers and whatnot, I'd almost rather have them do their skull and bones satanic ritual up there so that everybody would see what in the world these guys are all about. They're about their skull and bones, secret societies, and all that. These are not people that should be trusted, and certainly not people we should call Christians or trust to help with the cause of the Christian church. Anyway, we're a little bit late for our break. We're going to come back in a moment on the Tyranny Response Network.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at 97.7 FM on your dial, the Tyranny Response Network.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
When it's all done, at what cost the battle, what prize has been won? When dark clouds surrender, when the storm is undone, will you stand there shining in the light of the sun? Your motives worthy? Are your motives true? Are you doing things you would have done to you? Are you really proud of the things that you do? Will you stand there beaming when your life's finally through? When the dawn is just breaking at the end of the night, will you still have freedom? Will you still have rights? Were you proudly hailing through the perilous fight? Did you hide in darkness or try to shed light? When the curtain is closing and your life passes by, will you presently smile or will you break down and cry? Will you honestly say you gave life your best try? If there's a reason for living, did you ever ask why? When the dawn is just breaking at the end of the night, will you still have freedom? Will you still have rights? Were you proudly hailing through the perilous fight? Did you hide in darkness or try to shed light? As you passed through life, did you seek to grow? Did you hold on tightly or did you let it all go? Did you look for truth or did you not want to know? In the final assessment, you will reap what you sow. In the final assessment, you will reap what you sow. In the final assessment, you will reap what you sow.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to the show. This is Dr. John Coben, your Tyranny Response Unit here on the Tyranny Response Network, and we are here to talk about tyranny, to respond to tyranny, to equip you to deal with tyranny, and to expose all forms of tyranny wherever it may lie. And we were just talking about one of our latest tyrants, which is
President Bush. Yes, President Bush is a tyrant. Not as bad a tyrant, perhaps, as Adolf Hitler or Abraham Lincoln or Joseph Stalin or Mao Zedong or even Fidel Castro, but a tyrant nonetheless, someone who has taken away your liberty by leaps and bounds, the author of the famed Patriot Act, the Patriot Act 2 or whatever else might come down the pike related to these Patriot Act things. Did you know that this Patriot Act on Fox News, I believe Bill O'Reilly has this contest going on, as far as I understand. He says he'll give $5,000 to any charity of your choice that if you can prove that you've been harmed in any way, shape, or form by the Patriot Act. Well, as I discussed on this particular network a few days ago, I was personally harmed by the Transportation Security Administration's enforcement at the Greenville Spartanburg International Airport during a trip in December by being delayed and lied to and missing a flight, having to pay extra prices for rental cars, one-way rentals, flying to separate airports, and all sorts of mayhem caused on the other end from fixed appointments because of some buffoonery and silliness caused by these TSA folks. You can read my article about the what exactly happened online at policyofliberty.net in the articles section. If you simply go to that website, you'll notice the article about the TSA. Well, at any rate, trying to take up Bill O'Reilly on his wonderful offer, I decided to go ahead and send the article to him with a little bit of comment saying, basically, pay up. Here's the name of the charity. Go ahead. I've been harmed. It's very clear that it cost me a bunch of hassle and some significant money because of this Patriot Act. So you're wrong, Bill O'Reilly. Go ahead and pay up. Well, no response. Are we surprised at the Tyranny Response Network? No, because this is all smoke and mirrors that people like the main network people like Bill O'Reilly will play. They'll talk about these things and make it sound like, see, there's no problem. But when somebody actually proves to them that there is a problem, they just ignore it and they're not willing to pay up. Well, I've got a very detailed article online, and if any of you want to try to send it in again for me, go ahead and say, hey, Bill, I heard that Dr. Coben sent you this article that he'd written up, which details, puts in detail the story of how he was harmed by the Patriot Act through the TSA, and you didn't respond. Why not? Why haven't you paid up? Why are you a liar, Bill O'Reilly? And see what he has to say. Please go ahead and do that on my behalf. You're more than welcome to do so, and maybe I'll have to issue an apology to Bill O'Reilly, and I'd be happy to do that if indeed he has not, if he has been telling the truth and is more than willing to pay up. And I'd like to see him admit online or on the air, whether it's on his radio show or on his television show, that the Patriot Act is bad for America, that it's harmed people, that it's diminished our liberties, that it's taken away our rights, and it's causing us all sorts of difficulties, even now. Well, George Bush is still in the news. We were just talking about him before the break. And although I think there are worse scoundrels in American history by far, he still is not doing a very good job in terms of promoting the Constitution, liberty, and so forth. I like to talk to my kids and ask them, especially the younger ones, who do you suppose the five worst presidents are in American history? Have you ever thought about who the five worst presidents are in terms of injustice, tyranny, debilitation of liberty, and so on and so forth like that? Well, in my mind, the first president that has to come to mind more than any other is Abraham Lincoln. This scoundrel had really caused more debilitation of our rights, loss of liberty, than any other single president. And had he had more years to live and produce his tyranny, especially with the staff he had with Edwin Stanton and others in his cabinet, I think he would have been even worse than Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, who is a close second in my mind as being the second worst president in American history for destruction of our rights, destruction of liberty, and for many reasons, including his unsound money policies, his welfare state programs, and other leftist agendas that he followed. Third on my list of worst presidents would have to be Woodrow Wilson, responsible for laying back and letting the enforcement of the so-called income tax, which only referred at that time to profits from annuities and other dividends, bondholders for the very rich. But he did not do anything to stop that. He also got us involved in World War One and the League of Nations, this one world governing body that later became the United Nations. Well, we could talk a lot about that scoundrel as well. So that's number three. In fact, some people have called that the Liberal Trinity, Lincoln, FDR, Woodrow Wilson, the Liberal Trinity. And I think that's a fair characterization of the group. Beyond that, I think you have more distant fourth, somebody like Ulysses S. Grant, who oversaw the entire Reconstruction policy in the United States right after the war between the states, that horrific period of total tyranny in the South and domination through federal appointments of governors, through loading the courts, confiscations of property under the Confiscation Act, and many other mistreatments here in the South by the federal government. And then beyond that, probably the next one would be Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson, a great scoundrel who tried to start a war on poverty. He was famous for starting these wars on things to get government in its war mode and get you all behind the fact that you need to support the war effort, just like the phony war on drugs is all about. Those are my five worst. If you have a different five worst and have a reason for it, please send us your comments to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. I'm standing by to receive those emails and be happy to discuss it, what you write on the air, and interact with you. Well, who are the five best presidents? Since I started going down that road, it's only fair, I suppose, to say, well, who do I think the five best presidents are? And in American history, and I suppose you have your favorites, but for me, the one that stands out more than any has got to be Thomas Jefferson. This is a man who not only architected and orchestrated all of the great founding principles of our country, but also served as its third president, and felt that his understanding of Americanism was already under attack even during his administration. I also tend to like Andrew Jackson, not because of everything he did. I'm not necessarily in favor of his war effort, for instance. I think this was a problem. I think any time you have that sort of cataclysmic event going on with Indians or Mexicans or anything, you're going to have all sorts of problems of imperialism and expansion of or derogation of rights. But I do like Andrew Jackson, and maybe I won't put him as high a second if I really think about it, but chronologically, I guess I'm looking back in history thinking, I like Andrew Jackson because this man opposed the big bank organizations. Remember, America did not have green paper money until 1913. That's right, not until 1913. We went through over 100 years of history where people were paid with gold and silver coins. But starting from this scoundrel Alexander Hamilton all the way on down through Lincoln or through Clay, Senator Clay, and then through Lincoln and beyond, we had a push for having a central bank, a big bank that could use eventually fiat currency and help support the government through deficit spending and through fiat paper money. Well, the bankers tried to nudge their way in during the 1820s when Andrew Jackson was there, and he stood up against them almost to his peril, almost lost his life over it, as I understand it, and almost was not reelected because of their powerful move, and yet he was so great in his principles to stand up against the bankers that he actually defeated them, and they were not able to come in strongly again until the time of Lincoln, and eventually not even until the time of Taft and Wilson in the early part of the 20th century. Another president I think probably warrants great applause is Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson was the vice president of Abraham Lincoln, who was from the South, from eastern Tennessee, and was pro-Union. But after he began to see the abuses of the federal scumbags and what they were doing, he repented. And I always, as a Christian, like to leave room for people who repent and seek forgiveness and try something different. And Andrew Johnson, although he was not a perfect president and was, of course, impeached by the Lincolnite Congress that was in place, we have to give him credit for pardoning the Confederates and not allowing the tyranny to come full force against the southern states after they had been conquered by the North. And so I have to give him a considerable credit for that. By the way, this can't be a Lincoln show today, but how many of you know that Abraham Lincoln had struggled with the Supreme Court of the United States, even though the Southern justices left when the Confederacy seceded, and he got to replace a number of with his fair-haired men on the Supreme Court? How many of you know that they still threatened to impeach him? They still were not going to comply with his crazy rules about suspending habeas corpus, declaring war without an act of Congress, his right to rape order, his imprisonment of the Maryland legislature for 4 years, his driving the legitimate government of elected government of Missouri to Marshall, Texas, and the many other abuses Lincoln was undertaking. They were going to impeach him. And Lincoln could not get his way and was very angry with the Supreme Court. So he went to the Congress, and he got them to put a 10th seat on the Supreme Court during his administration. There were 10 members of the Supreme Court from 1862 to 1865 before he died. And as soon as he was assassinated, not too long after, they didn't want to give Andrew Johnson that same benefit, so they eliminated that 10th seat and brought it back to 9. One of the little-known facts of history about the great war that occurred during the 1860s. Well, at any rate, Andrew Johnson has to be up there for at least some of the things that he did for being one of America's best presidents. Grover Cleveland also comes to mind, again, not because he was perfect, but because Grover Cleveland said it was wrong for government to be supported by or government to support the people. I believe the famous quote goes something like this: while it's right and good that Americans should support the government, it is not right and good that the government should support the people. He did not believe that drought-stricken Texas farmers should receive government aid. And although there was public outcry against him for not providing aid, he said he was stalwart in saying, it is not right for the federal government to become a welfare state. And he also opposed the bimetallism policies, which tried to peg artificially the price of silver and gold together. And this is very intriguing history as well. Whenever you peg the price of two different metals that are not naturally, do not have any natural relationship, you end up having a run on one or the other and all sorts of chaos in the money system. Remember, at that time, there was chaos in the money system because of this bimetallism policy. Of course, some of those who are more conspiratorial minded than I would say, well, see, that was just someone putting up that law to destabilize the system in order to make a case for bringing in something like the Federal Reserve System and a fiat money program. And that may well be. I can't comment on it, that I have no facts. If you want to write an email to me and tell me your reasons why that's the case, then that would be great. I'd be happy to discuss it on the air. This is a First Amendment loving station, the Tyranny Response Network. And the Tyranny Response Unit, Dr. John Coben, doesn't necessarily have all the answers and doesn't claim to, just trying to be helpful in the cause for truth and for liberty. Send your questions to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, at any rate, Grover Cleveland deserves and merits some applause for his efforts against socialism, for his efforts against the big banking movement. And that was around 1887 and thereabouts. Since then, for the last 100 and some odd years, I can't think of a single president that warrants any merit, even though I do respect the fact that Ronald Reagan did indeed end the Cold War, although the wrong way, at great expense and so forth. He did bring down the Iron Curtain and save millions and millions in Eastern Europe from total chaos and misery. I will have to grant Mr. Reagan that much respect. But after he was shot, he didn't come through and eliminate the Department of Education as he should. He must have come under someone else's control, as far as I can tell, because he did not do the right thing in his administration. So who would be my number five then? If it's not Reagan, and I don't think I can include him in that list, just to give him that honorable mention for one thing, I guess I would have to go back to even one of the more early presidents, probably, if not George Washington, it would be John Adams, one of those two. Honorable men. I don't know if George Washington was a great president, but he was certainly worthy of much valor for his efforts in overthrowing the tyrants, and probably did a decent job of administering the young government of the United States. So he's probably a good choice. John Adams was a remarkable man, at one time foe, then later friend of Thomas Jefferson, a conservative, according to Russell Kirk, one of the great conservatives, yet a Burkean conservative, very close to a libertarian in his perspective of things, other than his view of virtue. And I have to give a lot of kudos to John Adams as well. Might even have to just put it as a tie between Washington and Adams. Well, at any rate, you might have your own five picks, and there may be somebody I've missed in there. Be happy to hear from you. Send us your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net. If you're listening to this as on a recorded webpage version, by all means, 24/7, send your questions to questions@policyofliberty.net, and I will respond on the next day's show live. And while after that show has been recorded, we'll go ahead and post that on the website so you can hear your question being read and responded to on the air live here in Greenville, our flagship station here in Greenville, in Greenville, South Carolina, on the Tyranny Response Network. Now, Bob, once in a while, I want you to go ahead and pop in, and for our listeners who have just joined us, Bob's our producer, and he's got a few very good bumper clips that our production staff has been coming up with. I just love that one. Go ahead and make your day. That parody on Clint Eastwood. I happen to be one of those Clint fans out there. Clint, of course, is an avowed libertarian actor, a rare bird among actors and actresses. And Bob, when you're ready, just give me the high sign and we'll go. All right, let's hear this, folks.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Well, that's just a tremendous piece. Have to love that. Go ahead, make your day. You just imagine Clint holding that 44 up there. You know, we talked about the government trying to have California's and Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's really a pansy sellout, this big Terminator fellow. He's in favor of banning 50 caliber rifles in California, the only state in America that would have that ban. Of course, nothing surprises you, I realize, when it comes out of California, being that it's dominated by thugs and leftists. Massachusetts and California really departed from the Union, the original contract, years ago, and here they are with their famed pro-abortion Republican anti-50 caliber gun. Leading leader Arnold Schwarzenegger now in the news. Well, at any rate, we do admire and love 44 Magnums that Clint Eastwood might have, or any other guns that you might have, because we believe it's your right, according to the Second Amendment, to have guns, have arms, in order to not just hunt deer or hunt bear or anything you want to hunt, and not just to provide self-defense against the thug that might enter your home in the night and try to rob you or rape or pillage. We have those weapons because the founders of our country realized that government would become tyrannical and get out of control, and we would need those kinds of weapons to attack back at the state when it attacked us. We have not forgotten what happened at Waco, and although I don't agree with David Koresh's theology, I don't believe that because I don't agree with his theology that I have a right to go in and burn him and kill a whole bunch of kids in the ground with fire and all the horrible things they did there, as well as what they did at Ruby Ridge. And I applaud them for their efforts at trying to stand up against this beastly, tyrannical state. And I don't want to hear any excuses for why that happened, and oh, poor Janet Reno didn't have full information. Janet Reno was a scumbag. She was someone who was purely evil, and don't try to apologize for her actions. I'm sorry if you work for the ATF or some other organization that was involved like the FBI. You guys blew it. You made an evil choice, a bad mistake, to murder a bunch of American citizens. And this is precisely why we need to have guns. We need to be armed, because your tyrannical actions have to be stood up against. And the only way we can do that is if we have force. And having 50 caliber rifles at a range of about 500 yards sounds pretty darn good when you've got a bunch of beastly tyrants coming at you or well-trained military. But at any rate, the Tyranny Response Unit, that's me, Dr. John Coben, is not preaching revolution, simply making the point that we indeed, at this time, need to support the Second Amendment, not because we want to hunt deer, but because the true reason we have the Second Amendment is our ultimate check against a tyrannical, malicious, and malignant state.
Well, we were talking about George Bush before the first break, and we're about to come up to the second break. I'm going to mention a couple of quick things here about George Bush. First of all, Fox News reports as George W. Bush prepares to begin his second term, majorities of Americans approve of the job he's doing as president, have a favorable opinion of him as a person. The latest Fox News national poll finds 52% of the public approve and 41% disapprove of Bush's overall job performance. The president's approval rating is up 4 percentage points since mid-December, and also best is 2004 average. Well, on the Tyranny Response Network, although you won't hear it on many other networks, if any, we are not in favor of George Bush. We do not give approval to him in any way, shape, or form. The man has not done his job to uphold the Constitution, in spite of the fact that he's been lauded by his special interests and friends for doing the political payoffs that he's done and making them happy. He's not done a happy thing for America, and we do not approve. George Bush also is being chided today for learning a lesson from saying, "Bring him on." Washington, the Associated Press reports, President Bush expressed misgivings Thursday for two of his most famous expressions, "Bring him on," his reference to Iraqis attacking U.S. troops, and his vow to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive. During a roundtable interview with reporters from 14 newspapers, Bush acknowledged that his tough language had an unintended consequence. On July 2, 2003, 2 months after he declared an end to the major combat in Iraq, Bush promised U.S. forces would stay until the creation of a free government there. To those who would attack U.S. forces in an attempt to deter that mission, Bush said, "My answer is, bring them on." Sometimes words have consequences you don't intend them to mean, Bush said Thursday. "Bring them on" is the Bush classic example. "When I was really trying to rally the troops and make it clear to them that I fully understood you, what a great job they were doing, and those words had an unintended consequence. It kind of some interpreted to be a defiance in the face of danger. That certainly wasn't the case." Well, Bush, you're good at mixing up your words and good at lying, basically, because although you claim to be a born-again Christian, we do not see any attempt by you to truly bring an end to abortion, which belies your whole case to begin with. And we certainly don't see you interested in respecting the life and liberty of people here or anywhere else. Bush, you have been in charge of slaying and murdering or killing hundreds of thousands of people, just like Saddam Hussein did, in an unconstitutional, wrong war of offense that is not justified by the Constitution, and supposedly trying to get Osama bin Laden, who's still running around free, probably has a passport and a pass from you and a big bank account bankrolled by you, for all I know, for him to hang around Europe. Now, I'm spouting off here things I don't really know or true, but I'm saying that we have a history of letting dictators that are mass murderers, Pol Pot comes to mind, of just traversing around Europe, moving around, having a fun time, and living the rest of their lives after doing the great atrocious acts that they've done. And George Bush, I can't say you're a whole lot better. Well, you're better than Pol Pot, but certainly you're nothing to be applauded for by your actions. So we'll be back in a minute after this break on the Tyranny Response Network.
Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings?
You're listening to TRN.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
How much time it is because it tells us how much time.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans and need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. John Coben, your Tyranny Response Unit, here live in Greenville, South Carolina today. And it's Friday, January 14th, 2005. We're so glad you joined us, and we're hoping you're enjoying listening to the broadcast this morning as we dispel the myths of the modern media and of modern science and of modern academia, and we try to move back to the truths of liberty and limited government and all the things that our founding fathers stood for. Well, we're working through a few news stories today, trying to interject a few comments here and there in the end of our introductory inaugural week here on the Tyranny Response Network with this flagship show, Christian Worldview. And we've been talking about George Bush, and I want to move on a little bit to a CBS News story that came out today that said the FBI's terror software, a bust. A $170 million computer overhaul intended to give FBI agents and analysts an instantaneous and paperless way to manage criminal and terrorism cases is headed back to the drawing board, possibly at a much steeper cost to taxpayers. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports the system labeled virtual case file is still not ready and is already obsolete. Orr reports an inspector general's report about to be released says the centerpiece of the FBI's half-billion-dollar technological overhaul
is a bust. Another waste of money, in other words, this Patriot Act and all these other things have led to. Do you realize we have more government, a bigger government under George Bush than we did under Bill Clinton? I'm not talking about the military buildup. I'm talking about just more government, more bureaucrats, more people controlling your lives, more people wanting to fingerprint you at the airport when you come in, to put fingerprints on your passport, to give you special ID cards that you've never had before. This is the George Bush agenda. It's for more control. It's for bigger government. It is not a government-reducing system. It's a government-bungling system. It's an administration of bungling and chaotic activity that diminishes liberty in our society. In other news, CBSNews.com reports, judge, evolution stickers must go. A federal judge on Thursday ordered the removal of stickers placed on high school biology textbooks that call evolution a theory, not a fact, saying they were an unconstitutional endorsement of religion. The disclaimers were put on the books by school officials in suburban Cobb County in 2002. Adopted by the school board, funded by the money of taxpayers, and inserted by the school personnel, the sticker conveys an impermissible message of an endorsement and tells some citizens they are political outsiders while telling others they are political insiders. U.S. District Judge Clarence Cooper said in his 44-page ruling. This is a great day for Cobb County students, said attorney Michael Manley, who represented parents who brought the suit. They're going to be permitted to learn science unadulterated by religious dogma. Well, guess what, folks? This is false. Creationism and Darwinism are both faith-based religions or faith-based initiatives or faith-based or just beliefs. The reason is that Darwin does not explain the original the origins of the universe. He has to say that there was just something that happened at one point in time, a big bang, although that's been discredited now by many people. Something happened to develop or originate the universe. Christians also have to have a belief about that. We believe that God created the world in six literal days, that he literally set out to set forth the heavens and the earth, and he governs the whole universe by a sovereign power. Both of these require faith. That's all. Both of them are beliefs because they are not have nothing to do with science. Neither of these things can be proven by the scientific method, which starts with making an observation. We can't observe it. Then repeating or watching it be repeated, replicated. We can't replicate the origins of the world or the universe. And then developing a theory based on the repetition. And then if it seems like the theory is so sound that we can never disprove it or never have a replication that goes awry, we make it into a law. We can't do that. There is no theory of evolution. It's a faith. It's faith that people that don't believe in God can rest on. Look, this is how the universe began. We believe this. We don't believe in God, so it must have began by some trans process. Let's call it what it is. This lawyer is simply lying. He does not understand that science has nothing to do with the origins of the universe. Likewise, even in this so-called theory of natural selection, we don't have the ability to replicate one species becoming another. In fact, we have no evidence of one species becoming another. There's no fossil record of intermediate steps. It's impossible for an eye to evolve over a million years or whatever it would take on some lizard or some fish or even a cow. How would the animal live during and survive for a million years without its eyes, if the eye is so important for the animal's survival today? What in the world could be done? How could an eye evolve? An eye will not work unless it's complete. It has to have a lens properly installed on an iris. It has to have all the internal optical nerves and everything is in perfect working order before the eye will work. You can't have like a half a finger and still get half a finger's worth of value. The eye is completely worthless unless every piece functions perfectly. Like Michael Behe said, there's no way that such a thing could have evolved. It's absolutely impossible. Evolution is a myth. It's a fable created and disseminated by those who do not believe in God, who need to have something else to cling to because they hate God and do not want to believe that there is a God. And this is why we had this fight here in Georgia and elsewhere about these stickers on these books. However, the Tyranny Response Unit would like to point out that if you're out there trying to salvage the public school, or so-called public school, it's really a government school, which are government indoctrination centers for promoting injustice and falsehood and fraud, why in the world would you expect that they would ever give any credence or even lip service to creation or creationism? Why would they care less? Their mission is not to promote the truth. Their mission is to promote their agenda, started by John Dewey and Horace Mann and the other evil secular humanists of the past. You're not going to get good things coming out of the public school. It should not surprise us that this judge ruled this way. Your role as a Christian today and your Christian worldview is to get kids out of the public school. And don't make up some mockery of the faith or of your own profession by saying that you're going to go and work for the public school to be some kind of missionary. Now, if you want to be a missionary to the public school in the truest sense, go to your elder board, get them to support you by giving you some donations, or go round up support by going church to church, and then go preach to these people. I don't have a problem with that. But don't talk about you going in and getting a government paycheck and using this missionary thing to be an excuse to be there. And certainly don't throw your kids into the public school. That's like throwing them into a pit of tar. Bad communications corrupt good manners. If you've got your kids going into a public school, then they're going to get bad behavior. They're going to learn evil things. They're going to learn from a wicked perspective different things, including issues of, like, the creation of the world or science and so forth. You're not going to get good things coming out of the government school. Christians should not be involved in it, and it's a sin for Christians to send their children to public school or to be involved with it in any way. It is an unredeemable, wicked organization. Now, some people think that's too strong. I'd encourage you to read the articles in the Times Examiner and those that are on my website over the last couple of months. My website is policyofliberty.net, in which I make a case for this. Also, chapter 6 of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, is available at my website, policyofliberty.net, for your perusal. And I make my case in there against the government school. And I hope you'll have a chance to read it and get your kids, for the Lord's sake, out of public schools. Don't have anything to do with them, and don't expect them to be redeemed or in any way transformed by your actions or others. If you have a question for the show today, please send it to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net, 24/7. Some of you will be listening to a pre-recorded broadcast. This show is aired from 7:30 in the morning till 9 in the morning Eastern Time in Greenville, South Carolina. If you're double-clicking on the link on the webpage and calling up the recording of the show, you're still welcome to send in a comment on the previous day's show that you're listening to, and we will discuss it on the next day's show, and then we'll install the following show on the webpage so that you continue to listen around the world, wherever you might be, to the pre-recorded version of this show and interact with us. That is one of our purposes of putting it on the internet, and we will be expanding. We already have massive interest in expanding, and it looks like we're having significant support that will be coming in at one point or another to give us terabytes of storage space, as well as other radio networks to be able to expand to. Well, we have other issues that came up in recent news stories. CBS News reports that commerce is blocking science, or is commerce blocking science? San Francisco, November 1st, 2003. Each year, millions of mice are genetically engineered to precisely mimic human cancers, a technology that could lead to the swift development of new and targeted treatments. But many researchers complain that progress is being slowed by commerce. That's because EI DuPont de Nemours and Company has laid broad intellectual property claims to drug discoveries made with just about any animal genetically engineered to be prone to just about any cancer. DuPont and Harvard claim the terms are typical of such arrangements between industry and academia and aren't particularly onerous, but many researchers and other university patent officials allege that DuPont charges high fees, sets strict conditions, and aggressively polices its broad rights, often to the detriment of science. Well, this raises a very interesting theoretical issue, and I didn't want to get into it yesterday, although I mentioned the article yesterday's show, and that's that: should we have a system of patents and copyrights in America? They are protected in the Constitution, but the Tyranny and Response Network in no way claims that the Constitution of the United States, as great a document it is infallible or perfect in the sense that the Bible would be. We all know, for instance, here at least, that a state-protected post office is ridiculous. There's no reason that the government should have to run the post office. That should not be in the Constitution. But should government protection of patents be in the Constitution? All a patent does is give a special monopoly license to one company to produce a particular product for a certain number of years, and to the exclusion of all others who would enter the market. That is against free markets. It's against liberty on its face. But is it necessary for the production of medicines or scientific findings? Well, this article claims that commerce is blocking science. I would say it's not commerce blocking science. If there really is a blockage of science and scientific production, it's because there is a patent, that is a government-granted license, that is blocking science. Now, I'm not convinced that we need to do away with patents. I'm interested in hearing your comments on them. I was asked to speak as one of the panelists in Peru, it was in Guatemala, a few years ago, on this whole issue of whether we should have copyrights and patents. And even scholars who love liberty are sharply divided on the issue, and it is worthy of discussion. But let's not make any mistakes here. The market and commerce is not blocking science. If anything is blocking science, it's government patent rules, and those are interesting for us to discuss whether or not they should be there. If you have a comment about that, please do send it to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. We also have another example of government potential bungling, with Canada finding its new case of mad cow. A third case of mad cow disease, reports NBC News, has been confirmed. Canadian officials said Tuesday, bringing a total number of North American cases to 4. The fatal brain disease, formerly known as bovine spongiform encephalopathy, BSE, was detected in a nearly 7-year-old Alberta beef cow as part of the country's surveillance program. Well, here we have, people admitting they found this cow, and of course one of the reasons that this disease exists is because of the way they were fed. They were fed actually brain pieces from other cows and so forth, so there was a bungling in the manufacture process and the regulation of this. It's a government failure all the way around. It's also a government failure to protect people in general by not being able to regulate as effectively as they like to wish they can. Government regulation is almost always a failure. It never really does a good job, as far as I can tell, at promoting quality and safety in society. And I think the whole case of mad cow is another example of that. If you have any questions about that, again, questions@policyofliberty.net. If you have any comments about it, we'd love to hear from you. Well, this is a show about the Christian worldview, and I want to mention just a couple of quick things before the show ends today about where you can go and discover your own particular perspective of the of public policy as a Christian. On the head page, or the main page, of policyofliberty.net, there is a link at the very bottom, said a test or a quiz for the 4 Christian views of public policy. We'd like to invite you to go there and pop open that Adobe Acrobat Reader file and print that off. I think it's a few pages long. It's a self-guided 15-question quiz that will help you understand your thinking, current thinking, on what the nature of the state is, whether it's good, evil, or benign, or malignant, etc., and what the Christian's response to the state and public policy should be. In other words, should you ever rebel? Was it wrong for the South to rebel against Lincoln? Our so-called rebel, that's a questionable term, but that's a term that's often used. Was it wrong for us to rebel or disobey King George? Was it rebel against him and try to overthrow his reign in the colonies? Were Christians in sin when they en masse joined the armed forces to resist King George? And from the Baptist ranks, from the Presbyterian ranks, from the Congregationalist ranks, were they wrong? Well, those are interesting questions, and there are many other questions, including should Christians take student aid if they send their kids to college? The Tyranny Response Unit says no. That would be sin, by the way. But you might find out for yourself some of the thinking like that for yourself, whether or not it was right or wrong, or is right or wrong. There are other questions to be answered as well. Should Christians even drive on the road or serve in the military, or should they use any government services or welfare whatsoever? Should Christians be in favor of imposing God's law or any rules, period, that change persons' behavior, from gun control laws to seatbelt and helmet laws to other things, including sodomy laws? What should be the role of the state today in enforcing righteousness or any behavior-controlling feature on people? You can Find out a little bit more by taking that quiz at the bottom of the headpage of policyofliberty.net. Now, Bob, I think this would be a great time to play that Clint Eastwood parody again, and any other a couple that we might have. Take a listen to what our production staff has come up with here. It's just tremendous.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Yes, go ahead and make your day. We're here on the Tyranny Response Network, and we're happy to help you do so. Well, I want to talk a little bit about, just for the few minutes we have left in the show, a couple of things that have come up in recent discussions and sort of solidify some of them. For the Christian, we have a real interesting dilemma when we approach the Bible and we try to think about public policy. First of all, we encounter the fact that there are really no positive or very, very few positive references to the state or government in the scriptures. In fact, just making a nominal quick count of every government event or mention of the state in the scripture, if you exclude the theocracy of Israel, which we all have to admit is a special case. Some might say it can be repeated again. Others will not. But excluding the theocracy, just from this part of the analysis for the moment, about 90% of all mentions of the state or the state's actions towards Christians or towards others in the Bible, about 90% of the time, the state is put in a bad light or as something that's evil, wicked, nefarious, harmful. Whether it be someone in the Old Testament, the Assyrian king, or whether it be the Apostle Paul being abused at the hands of Roman authorities. Bear in mind that Christ was killed, not by Jews, although they accused him, but he was killed by the Roman government. So were 11 of the 12 apostles, and I understand the 12th apostle, John, they also attempted to kill him. The civil authority has never been the friend of the church or Christians. Well, this causes a tremendous dilemma. When we come to passages in the Bible, which, especially in the King James Version, were, interestingly enough, translated by the authority and rendering, perhaps, of a king, King James, how do we understand that those passages where Paul says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority that exists except from God," the government is there to punish evildoers and to reward those who do good. How do we reconcile Peter's similar statements that we are to honor the king and to obey every ordinance of man because the king is there to punish evildoers and reward those who do good? We see just the opposite happening in history. It was certainly the opposite at Paul and Peter's day under Nero, the great wicked man who violated all of the Ten Commandments on a daily basis. The man had nothing to do with upholding God's righteousness. Did Paul and Peter mean that the government was righteous and that generally government is righteous, or that Nero was righteous at the time and actually some, or at least part of his administration, was upholding the law of God and punishing those who did evil as God defined it? Well, and did he actually reward those like Christians who were doing good things? Well, these are very dubious and difficult questions, and many Christians don't think about it, and you need to think about it. Because there are several ways to answer those very thorny issues in the scriptures, and that the quiz on the page bottom of page policyofliberty.net will help you to do so. And we invite you to go to that webpage again, policyofliberty.net, and take a look at those at the quiz. But there are some people who simply believe that Christians have to support the state in whatever shape or form it comes to them, as somehow God's agent or God's right-hand man in the world to accomplish various things. Unfortunately, I think that Judge Roy Moore fell into this belief. And there are others who would say, no, this is sort of an idealized framework for how government should be like. We haven't ever seen it or rarely seen it, but this is what we strive for. And there are still others which say, no, you don't understand, and this is where I would fall into line with this perspective. But what we see in Romans chapter 13 and elsewhere is a description of government defining what's evil and deciding and defining what's good according to its own standard. It's not ever considered to be upholding the law of God in the world or promoting and rewarding Christians in the world.
It's just the opposite that normally occurs because of its alignment with Satan. And I think Scripture can make a strong case from Scripture that governments and not governments but states in general are part of the kingdom of Satan and part of his program. Well, those are some of the deep thoughts we're going to come up with in this show. Yesterday we talked about Albert J. Knox's view of the difference between governments and states, and the day before we mentioned it a little bit. There's an article online that I've written for this week's Times Examiner. You can have a preview of it if you go online and look under the article section at policyofliberty.net and read about governments versus states, the difference between the two, and why Christians should be in favor of limited constitutional government but should always recognize that states, like what we have today, are not good, but are rather evil things. Well, it's been a pleasure having you this morning listening to the program on the Tyranny Response Network. We're coming now towards the end of the show. We'd invite you to send your questions and comments to us at questions@policyofliberty.net, especially if you're listening to the recorded version on the website. We'll respond to those in the next show, and we look forward to being back with you on the Tyranny Response Network tomorrow morning, or Monday morning at 7:30 a.m. For now, this is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview signing off, and we welcome you back to the show next week and look forward to seeing you then.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at 97.7 FM on your dial, the Tyranny Response Network.
The president of the executive branch is now in control of our military.